Chapter 26. Amanda. Banging shut her apartment door, Amanda limped to the kitchen cupboard, threw it open, grabbed the bottle of vodka, and took a hit from it, straight. The burn felt good. She needed it. She couldn't think straight. Naomi had lied to her about killing Crone, and seeing him on that train, alive and well, it hurt in a way Amanda had never known. She knew pain. It had been an animal that had lived with her for months now. And yet this betrayal, was a different kind of creature whose claws tore at her flesh in a whole new way. She had been given release, the knowledge that Crone was dead, and she had believed it, every word of it. More than that, she'd felt it. And when she'd seen him, that peace had been cruelly ripped away. Now that she'd had a taste of what it would be like if Crone was dead, she knew she wanted that, needed that, now more than ever. She had to calm those raging seas in her dreams. Amanda closed her eyes, enjoying, just for a moment, the memory of the stillness that had come with news of Crone's death. She promised herself then that she would kill him. She would do it herself. She had to. But not yet. She put the bottle of vodka on the table, went through to her bedroom, and found the pages from the web she had printed out. It was the article she'd found while researching Naomi, sitting in that Starbucks while she'd waited for Crone to make his appointment. It was from the New York Post. She'd printed it at home because it was the one article with the largest, clearest picture of Quinn. Still only half his face, the other in shadow. The picture looked like him. No doubt, that was the man she had killed last night. She went to her laptop, typed in the search terms again, this time focusing on Naomi. Nothing. Not one relevant hit. She clicked on her favorites bar in the browser. She'd bookmarked the relevant sites. The top one was the picture of Quinn alongside the article in USA Today. She clicked on the bookmarked link. The results sucked the air out of her lungs. Error 404, page not found. She clicked through the rest of the bookmarks for the New York Daily News, then Metro New York, the Queens Chronicle, and the New York Post. Same error message for every single one. Shaking her head, Amanda typed in a fresh search for news and found all of the websites for those publications were up and running. She did a fresh search on Naomi, Quinn, and the school. Zero relevant hits. Then, something hit Amanda. She picked up the article she'd printed and examined the URL at the top of the printout. www.usetoday.com/ny/Frank Quinn/Naomi. She didn't need to read any further. It wasn't USA Today. It was USE Today. One letter had been changed. The web articles were fake, all of them, and now they'd been deleted. Amanda had taken an afternoon course on how to create a website for her art. It was easy these days. You could do it in a couple of hours. Anyone could. Naomi had laid a careful, convincing trap for Amanda, one that had almost gotten her killed, and had made her take a life just to stay alive. She bounded off her bed. Her knee reminded her it wasn't working properly by sending a squealing, hot jolt of pain through her joint and dumping her on the floor. Amanda got up carefully, made her way to the kitchen, and found a box of Advil. She washed the pills down with more cheap vodka, grabbed her keys, and left, headed for the subway. All the way to Naomi's apartment, she tried to reach her on the phone. It didn't even ring. Either it had been switched off or had no signal. When she got to Naomi's building, she found the front door slightly ajar. It was almost 9, and people would have been rushing out of the building for the last 2 hours on their way to work. The last person out must not have closed it properly. This was the first piece of luck she'd had that morning. She got out of the elevator on Naomi's floor and pounded on her apartment door. No answer. Amanda listened at the door and heard nothing from the outside, only the thumping of her own heart. The closest apartment to Naomi's was down the hallway, maybe 20 feet away. Naomi's was the corner apartment, and that meant a little space from the neighbors. She figured anyone who could afford to live in the building needed a good salary to pay for it, maybe even 2 salaries. Chances were that Naomi's closest neighbors were not in the building, having already left for work. The hallway curved before revealing the rest of the apartments. On the wall, before it turned into a longer hallway, a red fire hose was mounted to the wall. Below the fire hose reel sat two large fire extinguishers. Amanda approached, lifted one of the extinguishers, and tested it for weight. It felt heavy enough. She went back to Naomi's apartment, held the extinguisher by the handle with one hand, her other on the base, and she swung it like a battering ram at the spot just below the door handle. The first hit shot the extinguisher out of her hands, and it fell to the floor with a loud metallic thunk. Her left wrist felt as if someone had tried to tear it off. She shook it, then picked up the extinguisher before it rolled away, stood back, took a run at the door. The base of the extinguisher struck the door an inch below the handle, and the frame gave a loud crack. One more. This time, the door opened. She went inside, dropped the extinguisher. When it hit the floor, there was another loud clang. She looked down, confused. The extinguisher should have landed quietly on the apartment carpet, but the carpet was gone. Amanda moved quickly through the apartment. Lounge, kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, second bedroom. There was nothing but a toilet and a tub. No pictures on the walls, no furniture, no bed, no desks, no corkboard with photos of Quinn, no carpeting, no drapes, no blinds, not even a light bulb. It was as if Naomi had never been here. Amanda returned to the front door of the apartment, double-checked to make sure this was the right place. And it was. Amanda shuddered. Naomi had lied about everything. She had tricked Amanda into killing someone, and she had no idea why. Before panic robbed her of her senses, Amanda ran out of the apartment and into the elevator. As the lift descended, she tried to think. She had to understand what had just happened. Crone would have to wait. Amanda had put herself at huge risk, one that might get her a life sentence. There were questions that had to be answered. Who was Naomi? The second question put a lump in her throat. Who was the man Amanda had murdered last night?